And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, insight and perspective are in short supply. And right now, there in Washington, D.C., there is an ongoing sort of Armageddon-style battle over what's called the Build Back Better legislation, also known as the AKA the Reconciliation Bill. From a climate perspective, inside of that bill is very important legislation that would help the United States address carbon emissions and basically regain credibility in terms of climate work. This Build Back Better legislation, as I say, also called the reconciliation legislation, has a ton of other stuff in it. Human infrastructure, childcare, a huge number of very important things. Right now, it is caught up in, as they say, the sausage factory down in Washington, D.C., which is kind of opaque to most people and may remain so because it's hardly worth sometimes understanding all the inside details. But I thought it would be useful to talk to someone who's thought a lot about these issues, and that would be Betsy Rosenberg, who is one of the co-founders, host, and producer on a new media effort called Green TV. You can find it on the internet tubes. Betsy, welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you. How am I doing? Honestly, Ted, I'm upset.
Well, then, and I won't
sugarcoat it.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. I think that we don't have to go into, or it's hard to go into all the details, but it just seems as if from the outside, there is some sort of moral failure happening in real time in Washington, D.C., that the government of the United States, after 250 years of functioning, seems to have ground to a halt and cannot respond to what have seemed to be obvious screaming emergencies that in particular, the climate challenge that we all know we need. The United Nations has talked about Code Red and et cetera, et cetera. The urgency is there. But in Washington, D.C., it's just kind of listless, drifting along. Do you see that? I mean, what's your take on, I mean, how would you explain to somebody from Mars what the heck is going on in Washington?
Oh, my God. I often say that. Dysfunction, junction, complete, utter failure. But I think it's important to point out the good guys and the bad guys, because there really are. I mean, when some people say, well, both parties are bad, not on climate, not when it comes to environment, not when it comes to, I think, common sense, because there have been, you know, the Jim Inhofs of the world and Ted Cruz's, and now these supposed Democrats. Tell me how they're a Democrat, because I thought most Democrats, if not all, certainly anyone who's a leader, representative, should believe in science. You got Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin holding up humanity, the fate of the world. And I guess they're getting off on it, the power, whatever. Meantime, you know, our children and beyond are going to pay for it. And it's outrageous that it's gone on so long. But there are certainly heroes like Sheldon Whitehouse, like, you know, Markey. There's so many people who have been championing this. And they're all Democrats, by the way, except one, Bob Inslee, who was a Republican. Inslee, the governor of Washington. Thank you, Bob Inglis. He was on my radio show about a decade ago, and his story, you know, it could have been chilling that it cost him his reelection that he spoke out on climate change. Good for him. And that's exactly what we need, you know, more of. Just like, you know, we have Cheney, Liz Cheney. Now, you know, at least she's speaking for the truth, and she's saying, no, it's not okay to lie. Adam Kissinger, there's definitely some leaders there that are going against the popular wave on the Republican side. But that's just
saying the two-party system is kind of no longer a two-party system. Maybe one party is trying to govern and the other party
is absolutely blocking it. And it's shameful. It's criminal. And this may sound partisan, but it's also fact-based. That
I mean, I think that we talked about the Manchin Sinema wing of the party, shall we say, as being
the holdout party. Let's call them the holdout.
Party. It seems to me that our, you know, all of the media focuses on those two, when in fact all it would take would be for two people of the other party to
God forbid,
to
huh?
step in. Yeah. I mean, and again, you're back to this question of the moral. I mean, what do these people see?
What do they breathe? What do they eat? What do they drink? How do they look at themselves in the mirror? What do they tell their grandchildren?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder sometimes if the disconnect between people at the upper income levels, which I think most of these guys in the Senate are, but nowhere near Elon Musk. I mean, I think Elon Musk imagines he's going to fly to Mars and set up a gated community there where everything is fine, right?
Along with Jeff Bezos and a couple of other billionaires.
But I mean, those guys think they're going to be taken care of. No matter what happens to the planet, there'll be enough food for them to eat, right? And that is just this horrific vision of humanity, right? That this very, very fringe set of people are going to take care of themselves at the expense of everyone else.
I have to say some good news. We have William Shatner now on our side at 90. He's the newest environmentalist. He came back. He was at a loss for words, as anyone should be.
Should be. You know. I mean, I guess just for the for anyone who's listening who may not be fully apprised of it, part of the one of the reasons for the outrage for climate people is that in this Build Back Better legislation is something called a program called the Clean Energy Performance Program, CEPP. And what that would do is essentially pay money to utilities to generate extra renewable energy, right? Above and beyond what they're doing now, they'd have to meet like 4% per year, which is a lot. And this is a very reasonable thing to do. Been tried in different states across the country. It's really the best path forward. It's our best shot at doing.
It's the only path forward.
The only, and it turns out that our friend Mr. Manchin from West Virginia, who I am told gets $500,000 a year from owning a coal company, he doesn't believe in it, and he's not going to allow it to happen. And the mind-numbing thing is that this one guy's self-serving attitude puts at risk essentially all of, and it sounds hyperbolic to say all of mankind, right? I mean, you say, oh, you can't be that, you know, the sky is not falling, Ted, calm down. It's not, but I think we really do risk terrible, terrible things from Joe Manchin, right? Is that wrong?
And it's not just humans, all critters, all life on this planet endangered, right? I mean, we're losing birds, we're losing insects, we're losing bees. Hello, bees pollinate a third of our crops. It's so, can I say asinine on your show? I
think that's a legitimate word that doesn't fit in the same.
It just sort of fits. I don't know if asininity is the word, but I just, you know, I live in Texas now, and, you know, I was there during snowpocalypse, and Greg Abbott, governor there, for some reason, governor, leader of a big state, came out in the first couple of days and blamed solar and wind power, which was not true at all. It was so outrageous. And it just like that, that's disinformation. That is, at least it was so outrageous that it got checked. Usually it doesn't happen on such a big scale. But that kind of just like black is white, white is black. It's not what you think. It's Trump. But Trump made it a daily occurrence, right? What you see is not what you see. Alternative facts. That so-called leaders are getting away with that, and to such an enormous price, cost, like everything. And it does, you're right, it sounds hyperbolic, but it's not. The sky really is falling. And the fact that these people somehow are getting elected and reelected who don't, quote, believe in science, like, I don't believe in Santa Claus. You know, I'm not a baseball fan. So what? You can make those choices. You can't make a choice about facts, about science, and you certainly can't lead. And you certainly shouldn't call yourself a Democrat if you're not believing what we're facing right now. Climate. And by the way, COVID, you know, you think that people who may not care about climate change or conservation, who wants more pandemics? But guess what? There are environmental drivers that led to this pandemic and will continue to, because as one of my heroes who I do want to have on Green TV, Dr. Peter Daszak, he is the head of the EcoHealth Alliance in New York. He was quoted as saying, as long as we have a sick planet, we're going to have more sick people. He said, there's 1.7 million viruses out there, and a vaccine is not going to get rid of that threat. And we're missing that takeaway, that big message for, as we maybe exit this pandemic, this round, that it's humans moving into wildlife habitat and chasing bats out of their natural habitat, mm-hmm. and them having to go north and be living close to other, you know, creatures and species is going to be a breeding ground for, you know, virus exchange between certain species and animals and humans. And that part just doesn't get covered enough. And that is a crisis like COVID is a terrible thing to waste.
I guess one way to pose the question, Manchin and Sinema in Washington holding sway because the GOP is craven, right? And we are right, and we're flying the airplane into the mountain to coin a phrase of catastrophic things that we can't avoid. How do you step back from that? I mean, there's two issues. One is, no matter what happens with Joe Manchin and the Clean Energy Power Performance Program, what's the take-home lesson? I mean, do people need to look and say, the system's broken and we need to change that? Is that the take-home lesson that people say, we need, and to talk about, the filibuster, that seems so small ball compared to the enormity of the influences that are playing out that you see. And so this travesty of what Joe Manchin's doing is just like an indicator of a bigger issue. Is that absolutely crazy? Is that paranoid or?
No, it's accurate. Completely fact-based. Look at what happened in the pandemic. One of the things it did was show us the ugly underbelly, the things that are not working, the things that are broken in our country and around the world. And while our mental health system is broken in this country, and it has been for a long time, government's broken, the broken planet that we're breaking, our atmosphere, other ecosystems as well. If we don't address that first and foremost and urgently and five alarm fire scream from the rooftops, which we're not, and we should be, nothing else is going to matter. That's what people don't realize. And the climate is always closing to act. And so it's like, you got to put out the fire before you can help anybody. And we still, and they're adding kerosene. They're adding fuel to the fire. Just what's the word? Outrageously, I guess. It's just, it can't continue. And it is continuing. And that's what makes me so angry that they're getting away with murder and theft. Murder because people are dying from climate change, and many more have and will die than from COVID or even other pandemics. And people, it's theft. It's theft of our children's future. And I have a daughter who just got engaged, and I hope to have at least one grandchild, but it will not be without sadness, concern, deep, sense of fear, really, for what these children, and this is just the next generation, let alone seven generations. How outrageous is that? And then the young people are, many young women are choosing to not have children in part because of what we're doing to the environment. And that is a huge, if anyone's listening is a parent, they know that it's the best thing about my life is having my daughter being a mother, to be robbed of that most beautiful experience because of people like, let's just name them, Kristen Sinema, Manchin, Jim Imhoff, all these jerks, people, really, that are twiddling while home is burning.
But I guess what I want to do is get, I mean, I agree with you, the twiddle while home burns kind of, they're lying, they're bad people, but somehow there has to be a structure hidden underneath that badness. Right. And that's where you have to do. I mean, and again, I sound so far over the top. But I mean, is it capitalism? Is it, a patriarchal society? Is it, fundamental racism that people have? I mean, all these things you say, OK, that's what, if you want to fight the climate crisis, the first thing you have to do is deal with this deeper thing. And then that will allow you to pass the Clean Energy Performance Program. Right. Is that fair?
It's an education problem in part. People just are not well informed in this country, unfortunately, and they've let themselves be disinformed. So that is a big part of it. We've talked a lot about the media, so I won't expand on that. But we've also got, the fossil fuel industry has been caught with its, hand on the levers. Exxon knew, and there's still funding denial and the Chamber of Commerce, and they're doing, even some of the big tech firms like Google and Facebook, they're putting out their, policies that sound good while they're funding some of the industrial organizations.
Forgive me for interrupting, but do you think the greed of the fossil fuel industry is the primary driver? Or do you think that there is the philosophical sort of hyper-individual attitude, neoliberalism, is that the driver that allows the greed to express itself? Because, I mean, at some level, all Exxon cares about is a quarterly dividend, and they don't, there's nothing else, right?
Right. Although they finally got a few shareholders who kind of snuck in who are going to be, you know, a stand for climate change, but probably too little too late. I mean, is the fossil fuel industry to blame for a lot of this? Absolutely. Are we all using fossil fuels every day? Yes. So I don't believe in just blaming the fossil fuel industry. Jane Fonda tends to do that. And I get angry. She was actually on The View when her book came out about a year ago. And Joy Behar, my favorite, you know, woman on there, said, it's also the media. She said, I'm in the media and I know we don't talk enough about climate change. And I wanted to hug her. And then I wanted to hit Jane because she said, no, it's just the fossil fuel industry. It's not just any one thing. Of course, it's too deep. It's too dark. It's too complex. It's been going on for too long. The problem is we've had enablers in the form of Republicans, politicians, and those with, you know, their special interests to protect, which apparently is more special than their children and grandchildren, often the case. And those enablers have microphones, and those enablers are being rewarded with tens of millions of dollars in contract. You know, I'm talking back to media, John Hannity, Tucker Carlson. So it's all of the above. But now that we know what we know, I mean, some of us have known it and trying to get word out. But, you know, look at if you don't think climate change is changing the weather, you're living under a rock. You're not paying attention. Right. And even in my neighborhood, I live in Hill Country, Texas. I was there for Snowmageddon in February. Harrowing experience. Turns out like some 700 people died, not 200, horribly tragic stories. They've never had, you know, freeze like that. And all these firsts, right, that we're just going to see more of. The weather's only going to get worse, even if we stop spewing greenhouse gases tomorrow, which we're certainly not. How can that not impact you? How can you think that, you know, there's no change in the weather? I mean, I don't understand that kind of obstinacy.
This is what I keep coming back to, is the idea that you can convince yourself of anything. Right, you can convince yourself that the it comes back to questions of confirmation bias or people think that they're rational, and they're not, right? So I'm sure in the mind of a denier, it's all completely logically lined up how climate change is, the weather's not is not shifting, right?
And or it's a natural cycle.
All those things are, but basically they allow you to maintain your status quo without
penalty,
coming to terms,
without consequences. And then you see a mansion and a cinema up there holding up much needed progress, like needed yesterday. And that gets confirmed. It's confirmation bias. There's also such a thing. I was a psych major in college added journalism, as cognitive dissonance. And how can they handle the dissonance between what's clearly happening and what they're saying? And I just want to get back for a minute to the politics, because so often, and I know the media news gatekeepers use this as an excuse to not put solutions-based environmental programming on the air. It's been politicized. We don't want to go there. It's been politicized. Well, guess what? That's where the Republicans have been most successful. I'm talking about the ones that are active deniers. They politicized it, but the average American will just look at it like it's been politicized, as if both parties did that equally. And I say, stop. Then they succeeded because they tried to make it a political, when it's actually physical science, when it's actual, you know, science, it's facts. And I mean, Trump making, you know, the possibility of alternative facts even a thing, and then it getting worsened by Marjorie Taylor some of these crazy people, is that they're not whipped out of office, called out of office, recalled, you know? I mean, this is what concerns me the most, Ted, is that we're seemingly not learning, and there's so much to do and so little time. And with these kinds of stupid, obstinate obstacles in the form of some people and fossil fuel companies and right-wing media outlets enabling this epic challenge we're up against, that's where I lose hope. I really do. It's if we know this much now and we're still not stopping the presses and doing everything we can, and the government's not handing out solar panels to put on every warehouse roof across America, we're not getting it. We're not going to get there. Last thing, how are we going to cut our emissions in half, get off our gases in less than a decade, like 8 years since we were told it needs to happen, if we don't have any, here I'm back to media, programming, because apparently we need to do some educating on how to do it. That's the missing piece. How do we do it? And it's not just changing a light bulb or driving a hybrid car. That's certainly good to start. It does have to be systemic change. But it also is true that it has to start with each of us, so that we were the first household in our neighborhood of 200 homes in Texas to put solar panels on in a place where it's often 100 degrees in the summer, triple digits, and the sun beats down probably 300 days a year. And our neighbors bought our solar panels. They're probably in the gas and oil industry. But then two other households put them on after we did, and both contacted us to learn more. So we fought the homeowners association and won. And so they didn't have to. So it is important to start individually and to, you know, and to talk about it. I really think that's a key piece of it. But then we have to go much, much beyond there. But we are social creatures, and social research shows that people tend to do what other people do and what the norm is, whether someone on your block or your family. And it also shows that people don't talk about climate change very much, especially if you're in a certain political party right. or part of the country. And what could possibly go wrong if it's not being talked about in your life and on television, where most people still get their news? Millions of Americans still get their news from the news network. So it's like a perfect storm for everything that could go wrong. And the only hope is that if enough has gone wrong between COVID and climate change rearing its ugly head, that if that hasn't woken people up, they don't want to be woken up. And then we just have to wait till, you know, the dinosaurs die off. Well, I don't think that's a really great way of handling it, or a good thing to tell our children. We just decided to wait till those liars could get out of the way. You know, the climate window, you know, is closing.
I guess so a couple of things. One is, the argument I'm making on the what's happening in the Senate right now with Manchin is not a done deal. I think that Manchin's rejection of the Clean Energy Performance Program is a trial balloon. And so I would urge people to call their senators and insist that these programs be strong. I mean, this precise language, I think, is less important than having your senator know that you want a very strong climate program in this Build Back Better. And it's happening now. So it's a call you could make today. What I'll do is I'll put the number in the blog. Second thing, Betsy, is I just want to tell people that you are the founder and main producer of greentv.com, which is offering solutions-based just the kinds of things that your analysis just now, right? There's greentv.com. You can go, and there's tons of videos about things that can be done in real time, right?
Absolutely. I'm the co-founder, just to correct that. And but we will be we're just getting started. There's probably two dozen interviews that I've done. We just started in September. This is October. But if you like what's there, please donate. We're putting up a donate button in the next.
Super.
Yeah.
Super. It should be. So we'll put that link up. But don't give up. I mean, I think you look at this, all this stuff, and it sort of changes you. It makes you think differently. Thinking differently is great. Giving up is not good. Right? And so there's acting, right.
And while, just in closing, while it may be trial balloon, whatever you want to call it, we can so not afford to dilute down what has been fought for. Like, take out how many billions, you know, and what is that? How many lives? You know, how many lives really? And so is it, and yet, you know, they'll pass it for the military. They'll pass it for their pet causes, they being Republicans. I mean, it really is shocking that, as you pointed out, two Republicans could say, I'm for the planet. I'm for my kids' future. I'm for a healthy, safe. And by the way, COVID, you know, is a lung disease, and we have more pollution. And it's so, if you don't want to talk about climate change, talk about pollution. Like, there's certain words that they like better than others. Talk about the oceans, not the climate. Like, what? WTF? You're grownups. You're grownups. Act like it. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, what do I really think? Do you really want to know what I really think?
Yeah. Tell me what you really. Anyway, Betsy, we should put it down there. I'll put up some links, especially to the greentv.com at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about this show or want to make suggestions, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Of course, you're listening to this on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their modern podcast distribution app. It can be one of your two climate actions for the week, the first one being to call your senator and tell them to do the right thing. We want to thank our good mutual friend, D.R. Tucker, for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities in order to safeguard our collective future. So, Betsy, thank you so much for sharing your mind.
Thank you for caring and listening and having me on again, Ted. And I want to have you on Green TV soon. And thank you for what you've been doing. I don't know if it's as long as I've been doing it, but it's a long time. I know. How many years?
We've been doing this 11 years now, believe it or not.
Okay, double that. And add a few. I'm not, like I said, I'm not bragging. I must have been out of my mind to think that the world and the media would value this years and years ago. But I didn't ever bank on the fossil fuel industry funding denial. That is so dark and so dirty. It was beyond, I guess, my innocent mind to even imagine.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.